Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And through the miracle of technology, I'm Matt Swaim, joining you actually from Washington, D.C., connected with the studios of Catholic Answers in San Diego, as we are preparing for hour two of an open forum. The question, the topic for tonight, why aren't you Catholic? Last hour, we spoke with Trent Horn. This hour, we've got Carlo Broussard in the studio. And Carlo, are you ready to tackle some questions?
I'm ready, Matt. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
And when we say fun, I hope that you realize that at Catholic Answers, we really enjoy pursuing truth. It gets our blood pumping. I don't know about you, but I'm not Catholic because I think it's like the true thing that happens to be boring that I'm just going to go ahead and do because I'd prefer not to go to hell. To me, it's an exciting pursuit. To me, it is something that really grows my heart, grows my mind, and to be honest, makes me really like the people I talk to about it.
Amen. Well, it leads to legitimate happiness because fundamentally we were made for the truth. And when we come to know that truth and give our lives for that truth, in return we experience the satisfaction that God intends for us to experience because it's that truth hole. And once that truth hole is filled, it's going to bring about a sense of happiness. And we look forward to that day at the end of time when we can enter into heaven, that beatific vision, where we will know truth in its essence, know truth perfectly according to our capacity as human beings and our finite intellects, and experience that perfect beatitude, which will never be taken away from us. So,
you know how much we like truth here?
How much?
We even put it in the phone number. If you want to get in the conversation right now, 1-888-318-7884. That's 1-888-31-TRUTH.
There you go.
And give us a call. We'll put you in the queue. Right now, we've got Eldon, who is listening in Silver Spring, Maryland, just up the road from me, Eldon. I'm right in your area, listening on Guadalupe Radio, 1160 WMET. Welcome, Eldon.
Good evening. The deal breaker for me is the doctrine of original sin in your faith, where there is a birth, there is death. You have newborns with dead souls, and that's a deal breaker for me.
All right. So the question, the point he brings up is he says that there's no living soul in a baby. Now, I can go to Thomas Aquinas, but I'm going to let you tackle this first.
Yeah, well, Eldon, I could understand on the surface it would seem problematic, but it's very important that we understand what the church actually means when it refers to original sin and the quote-unquote death of the soul. And the Catechism does use this language, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that is, does use the language of describing original sin as the death of the soul in paragraph 403. But what the Catechism is referring to, Eldon, is something based upon the teaching of sacred scripture itself. Death of the soul means that when the soul is created by God, the soul is created without sanctifying grace. That's fancy terminology in theology, which basically refers to the heavenly life, the supernatural life that God intends for us to have, which is necessary to actually exist in heaven. According to the biblical tradition and our Catholic tradition, that grace of supernatural life was forfeited for all of humanity by Adam's original sin, which was a personal sin. And by virtue of Adam being the head of the human race, he forfeited the gift of that grace being transmitted to all of his progeny. Consequently, as human beings, we are created without that supernatural life in the soul. Now, a couple of biblical texts for you, Eldon, is Romans chapter 5, verse Romans chapter 5, verse 18, where St. Paul actually says, "Then as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one man's act of righteousness leads to the acquittal and life for all men." Notice St. Paul refers to death coming upon all men, and then he contrasts that with the life that Jesus brings to all men. Now, what life is St. Paul talking about here? He's not talking about natural life, because all of human beings already have natural life. He's talking about that supernatural life, a new life. So in contrast, what death is Paul talking about? He's not talking about physical death necessarily. He's talking about the supernatural death, that is, the soul being void of God's life. And then I would also refer you, Eldon, to John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, the famous born-again text, when Jesus Christ says to Nicodemus, "Unless you are born again," or "born from above," as some translations say, "you cannot enter the kingdom of God." And then Nicodemus asks, "How shall I be born again?" And then Jesus responds, "By water and spirit." But here's the point I want to draw out, Eldon. Notice Jesus refers to a new birth. Now, what do we normally associate birth with? Life. So apparently, there is a life that we didn't receive in our first birth, namely our natural birth. There is a new life that we must receive. We didn't get it in our first birth, so we must be born again to receive that new life by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is that new life that St. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, for through baptism we die with Christ, and then we are raised with Christ to a newness of life. So original sin in the church's teaching refers to the soul being without that supernatural life, and through baptism, being born again, that state of, or that condition of the soul, as the Catechism talks about in paragraph 404, is removed, and that supernatural life is infused, and thus that particular individual enters into filial relationship with God, becoming a son or a daughter. So it's important for our listener's sake and for you, Eldon, to understand that when we talk about original sin and infants having original sin, it doesn't refer to a personal sin, like they are guilty for offending God. That's not what we refer to. The Catechism makes it very clear in paragraph 404 that it's not a personal act or a personal guilt. It's a state or a condition of the soul that simply we have when we're created because our first parent, Adam, forfeited that grace for us. But thanks be to God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. He won for us that new life, and we receive it in the sacrament of baptism initially. So does that help any, Eldon?
Yeah, it does. It is problematic for, I think, people who, you're making the case for no salvation without baptism.
Okay, that's a good point, and I'd like to respond to that.
Okay. We're born with mortal sin. Mortal means dead, soul. Therefore, the supernatural gifts of grace through vis-a-vis baptism, rather water or desire, is necessary for salvation, and I would disagree with that.
Okay,
all
you
right.
Bring up
now,
a very
can
good
I define
point.
Some terms here real quick, Carlo?
Yeah,
he is connecting mortal sin with original sin, and the
right.
Catholic Church doesn't do that.
Yes, right. We'd have to parse that out. I understand what Eldon's trying to get at, meaning the death of the soul, so there's sort of a mortality there. Now, it's important, though, that when we talk about mortal sin in our Catholic tradition, that refers to a personal act that offends God in such a way that it can destroy charity in the soul if committed with full knowledge and full consent. Now, Eldon's just trying to get at this idea of the soul being void of supernatural life, what the Catechism refers to the death of the soul. So if we run with that, it's important to note. Okay, so Eldon, you were making the point about this makes baptism necessary for salvation. And I would agree with that statement. Baptism is necessary for salvation. We teach that as Catholics. We believe that because Jesus taught it in John 3, 3 through 5, talking about being born again is necessary to enter the kingdom of God. But Eldon, that does not mean that just because somebody is not baptized, they're automatically barred from heaven. You brought up two important details, Eldon. You mentioned sort of this baptism by desire, I think was one of the things you said, and then there was something else I can't remember. But remember, Eldon, the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches in paragraph 1257, God has bound salvation to the sacrament of baptism, but he himself is not bound by his sacraments. And that is to say, for those to whom the revelation of the sacrament of baptism has been given, they are bound to the sacrament out of obedience and love of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean for somebody who is unaware of the revelation of the sacrament of baptism can't receive the grace of baptism. For the church indeed teaches that it is possible for an individual to be saved under certain conditions without outside of the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church, and even without the ordinary means of salvation, namely the sacraments. So, Eldon, in a sense, we have some common ground there. We would say, yes, baptism is necessary for salvation, but it is the ordinary means of salvation and necessary for those to whom it is revealed. So hopefully that's helpful for you.
Yes. And again, this is another great point about how we are bound, as you said, by the sacraments. God is not bound by the sacraments.
That's right. He's a big God, and his arms stretch wide.
Yeah, the catechism provides for these kinds of things. So, for example, if you're driving to church to get baptized and suddenly you spontaneously combust Spinal Tap drummer style in the car on the way, God's looking out for you in situations like that.
A baptism by explicit desire to receive the grace of baptism without the actual sacrament, by explicit desire. And then the church even allows for the possibility of receiving the graces of baptism by what she refers to as implicit desire. That is to say, an individual would receive the sacrament had he or she known it. And of course, only God can make that judgment, because only God knows the secrets of the heart.
And that is actually what Pope Francis means when he says, "Who am I to judge?"
Amen.
You just nailed it.
Amen.
All right, let's hit a break. We've got Travis and John and Russell and many others. That's what's coming up next in the queue for us on the second hour of an open forum, a Q&A open forum with Carla Broussard. Why aren't you Catholic? 1-888-318-7884. I'm Matt Swaim from the Coming Home Network. We return in a moment.
Don't you just love listening to Carlo Broussard? Did you know you can book Carlo or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about a very special sale we've got going on right now in the shop at Catholic.com. With the start of our annual winter sale, all of our books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s have been discounted from 10 to 25% off, and even more. We've got new books on the Bible, church history, apologetics, evangelization, and so much more. You can even save money on my brand new book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties. Advent and Christmas are just around the corner, so there's simply no better time to stock up on resources to build up your faith and the faith of those around you. With hundreds of great faith-building tools at the very best prices, it's the best Catholic sale on the internet. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to the shop at Catholic.com to take advantage of our annual winter sale, going on now through the end of the year.
What do the Pharisees, pagan emperors, the Nazis, and the Quran all have in common? All were enemies of the faith, who admitted crucial facts that undermined their own position. In his new book, Hostile Witnesses, How the Historic Enemies of the Church Prove Christianity, author Gary Machuda looks at dozens of Christianity's most notorious foes, from biblical times through the 20th century, and draws from their words and deeds surprising testimony to gospel truths. Rich in research and written with clarity and force, Hostile Witnesses is a unique contribution to Catholic apologetics, one that speaks with special urgency to a modern world in which the faith is once again under attack. If you love apologetics, you need to order your copy of Hostile Witnesses today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore in your area.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teens spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
And we return. It's a second hour of a Q&A open forum. We are taking your questions about the Catholic Church, specifically questions that stand between you and becoming Catholic. Maybe you used to be Catholic. Maybe you're thinking about it and there's a big obstacle. Maybe you're thinking about it and there's a, you know, just a smaller obstacle. I'm Matt Swaim, a guest hosting here on Catholic Answers. Carlo Broussard, our guest. And before we get to another call, Carlo, I just want to talk about how excited I am for this topic, because what I do with the Coming Home Network on an everyday basis really ties into what you at Catholic Answers do on this particular point, because as you guys are answering the nuts and bolts question about why aren't you Catholic, which happens to do with, you know, Mary or purgatory or the saints or the church's authority, a lot of times people say, I'm not Catholic because my family would think it's weird, or mm-hmm. I'm not Catholic because there's some kind of a personal thing that I'm trying to work through with my spouse, or a number of kind of personal pastoral reasons, and we deal with that all the time at the Coming Home Network. Which many of our listeners know for the Journey Home program. So again, you may have an apologetics question. You may have a personal pastoral question. We want to address it here on Catholic Answers Live this evening. Let's go to Travis in Fort Worth, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Travis, what's your question for Carlo Broussard?
Good afternoon, man.
Good afternoon, Travis. How can we help you, buddy?
Hey, I wasted many, many years in the Pentecostal church. And it does say in the Bible, in Mark 16, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. And it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, speak in new tongues. Don't nobody do that today, brother. In the Catholic Church or the Pentecostal Church. I started going to a Catholic church for a while, and I was bored to death. Some guy in a religious costume gets up there and swings around some smoke and acts holy and doesn't teach anything, man. I started to see the truth when I started reading my King James Bible.
Okay.
And the Bible says very plainly to follow Paul three times. He says in First Corinthians, follow me as I follow Christ. And he calls the gospel my gospel three times. And Second Galatians 2:7, he says Peter was entrusted with the gospel of the circumcision, and Paul was given the gospel of uncircumcision. It's so plain. It says, if any man preach another gospel, Galatians 1, let him be accursed. And he warns us twice. I don't follow no kind of man. I follow that book. Rightly divided.
Well, there are a number of issues here. Yeah. And Carl, let me just break down a couple of these and get your response to them, because some of these are pretty valid. So first of all, the question about these signs will follow those who believe, demons being driven out,
right.
People speaking in new tongues, things like that. And his contention was that this doesn't happen in the Catholic Church or the Pentecostal Church. Now, this, of course, happens just a few months removed of Father Gabriel Amorth's passing.
I was about to
probably one of the most famous exorcists in the church. So there is, those signs that Jesus said would accompany those that believe.
Sure.
Are present. They're not present in every single individual believer.
Correct.
I didn't cast out any demons this week.
Correct.
But if you could just address that point.
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, when our Lord tells us in Mark 16 that the apostles are going to go forth and do that, we see an inundation of miracles in the first century in order to verify their teaching, in order to verify Jesus' revelation that he entrusted to the apostles. Now, those miracles did not cease at the end of the apostolic age. They continued all throughout the history of Christianity, especially within the history of the Catholic Church. In fact, Matt and Travis, you might be interested in checking this out. We just published here at Catholic Answers my booklet, a 20 Answers booklet, a part of the 20 Answers series on miracles. And in the booklet, I address several questions that have to do with whether miracles still occur today. So I look at the incorruptibles. I look at the Eucharistic miracles, and particularly the miracle of Lanciano, in Lanciano, Italy. I look at several other miracles, especially the resurrection of Jesus, but currently in the Catholic Church, we have healing miracles. A recent healing miracle that's somewhat of modern times is, you know, the miracle of St. Padre Pio in healing a blind woman, and the miracles from Lourdes, etc. So we do the evidence for current miracles in the Church throughout the centuries is there. All of the canonizations of the recent saints. You know, the Vatican has documented evidence of miracles that have been subjected to scrutiny by non-Christian scientists and critics to Christianity. So the evidence for miracles today is there for the taking. Will you see a miracle if you go to the church down the road? Probably not. If you have the eyes of faith, you'll see the miracle of the Eucharist, but that's not visible to the senses. But just because individual churches in certain local churches are not performing miracles doesn't follow from that they do not belong to the true church established by Jesus Christ. So that's the topic of miracles. And then I think we have this sort of formalism, ritual kind of question
as well.
Yeah,
let me kind of rephrase that to make sure we're given the proper airing to Travis's question here. He says, you know, I believe what's going on in the Bible. I believe that, you know, Christ is alive and active in this world. And then I go down to the Catholic Church down the street and I say, and let me try and use his words, some guy in a religious costume swinging around smoking, I'm bored to death and he's not teaching anything.
Right.
What do you do to that objection?
Well, fundamentally, Matt and Travis, if you're still listening, I would encourage Travis to look into what exactly is the meaning behind what he calls the costume. We would call it the chasuble and the vestments. Now, do some vestments out there look like, you know, clown suits and are not beautiful? I would agree. I would agree there are some vestments out there that are not beautiful. But there are beautiful chasubles and vestments out there, the garments that the priest wears. And I would encourage Travis, I would challenge Travis to look at God's will for his priests in the Old Testament. There were certain garments in Exodus 28 and 29 that had to be made for Aaron and his sons to minister as priests. We even see Jesus described by St. John in his heavenly vision in the book of Revelation, dressed in the same priestly garments as Aaron and his sons would have been dressed with. And what is Jesus doing in that vision of the book of Revelation? He's ministering in a heavenly temple. And guess what else John sees in this heavenly liturgy or this heavenly temple in the book of Revelation? In Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, he sees incense, as Travis said, swinging smoke. All of these things that constitute the common practice and the ritual of the Catholic Church has biblical precedence. It has biblical roots, and there's a certain meaning behind it that I would encourage our friend Travis to take a look into, and perhaps when he looks into the rationale and the meaning behind the liturgical practices of the Catholic Church, the boredom will cease. And that, Matt, it was what happened for me in my own journey. I can remember vividly sitting in Mass and just thinking, I am bored out of my mind and I cannot wait to get out of here. But when I discovered the meaning of the Mass through the work of Catholic Answers and other apostolates and the work of Dr. Scott Hahn, it revolutionized my experience because I came to realize I cannot love that which I do not know. So how could I appreciate the Mass if I had no idea what the Mass was about? So I would encourage our friend Travis to take a look into the meaning of the Mass, and maybe perhaps that might help with his boredom. And then finally, a last point, Matt, that Travis brought up was he follows the book, meaning the Bible, and no man. Well, we would say in response as Catholics is, yeah, we follow Jesus, and I think that's what Travis is trying to get at. But I would challenge Travis in asking him, well, if you follow the book, that begs the question, well, whose testimony do you rely on in order to know that that book is God's word? If it's not somebody else, like the Pope or a bunch of bishops, then it's going to be oneself. And that's a man. And so I would challenge Travis with that question.
And that man often is ourselves.
Yeah, that's
right.
I don't trust
myself to find socks that match in the morning, Carlo.
That's right.
I don't know about you.
And if there's no infallible voice to speak for God, then we couldn't trust what we couldn't know what God's word is.
All right. Catholic Answers Live is returning in just a moment with more callers. Carlo Broussard answering your questions as to why you're not Catholic.
Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about my new book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties. Have you ever read something in the Bible that confused you? Or has a skeptic ever asked you to explain a scandalous passage and you didn't know what to say? Doesn't Genesis contradict science? Why does the Bible promote slavery? How could God order his people to kill women and children? It's happened to just about everyone. But now you have a place to turn for the answers. In Hard Sayings, I look at dozens of the most confounding passages in Scripture and offer clear, reasonable, and Catholic keys to unlocking their true meaning. After reading this book, you'll be equipped to answer the toughest questions skeptics ask about the Bible. So don't be left without an answer again. Order your copy of Hard Sayings today by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
When it was released in the fall of 2014, the graphic novel The Truth Is Out There set the Catholic book world on fire with its unique and innovative blend of apologetics and entertainment. Following two young heroes named Brendan and Irk as they explored the universe of faith and reason. It got teens talking, engaging and entertaining them with eternal truths presented in a non-threatening way. Well, guess what? Brendan and Irk are back! And now in a brand new adventure with high-quality full-color illustrations and a storyline that's easy to follow, they come face-to-face with the drama and mystery of God's plan for the salvation of the world. Get the young people in your life talking about things that matter. Order your copy of The Big Picture today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Carlo Broussard is eating crawdads and shucking corn right now, but we're going to try and get his attention so he can finish another half an hour of Catholic Answers Live. I'm Matt Swaim, guest hosting today. Carlo, we are just trying to make you feel at home.
Amen to that, brother. Hey, what did we say at the beginning of the show? It's all about having some fun, right?
It's all about having some fun. And I want to get back to something that that Travis hit on, and it was about having no fun
right.
at church.
Right.
So we are, as this show is airing live, in the midst of the Major League Baseball playoffs. Now, there are a lot of people who look at what is happening on the mound and in a baseball game is
right.
super boring.
That's right.
And they're thinking to themselves, this is just a guy
I'm one
throwing
of them.
A ball and a guy who is swinging at it.
Yeah.
And this is taking 3.5 hours. This is boring. This is a boring game. But if I'm watching a master like Clayton Kershaw or Max Scherzer or somebody, and I'm listening to a professional in the booth saying the strategy, the chess game that's going on with every pitch, suddenly this becomes fascinating. Suddenly
sure.
I am glued. Suddenly I want to know what's going to happen next. Suddenly I'm not really interested in going and refilling my, you know, Orange Crush until the commercial break. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, amen. Well, once again, you know, you can't appreciate that which you do not know. I mean, I would be one of those people sitting and watching a baseball game and flipping the channel, you know, because I don't know much about it. But I do know one thing. In the past, I used to think it was absolutely boring. But now that I can appreciate talent and now that I understand to some degree what's going on, I can appreciate it more. And the same thing applies to all areas. I mean, I used to think golf was boring until I started learning about it and trying to hit
that
little
ball.
Well,
that's because golf is boring, you know. Because golf is boring.
Yeah, but whenever you understand, you know, the mechanics and all that's involved, you come to appreciate it. And you know, Matt, I think it touches on another element as well, and that is when we go to worship God, we expect to be entertained. So the idea of being bored at Mass presupposes a false assumption that worship is all about me and being entertained. And that's not what worship is. Worship is adoring God. We are there to serve God, to give him our blood, sweat, and tears, and offer that in sacrifice to him. That is the essence of worship. And when we do that, as Jesus taught us to worship him by offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass, then in return, we do get the spiritual benefits that overflow into the body, where we can experience the peace and the joy that Jesus came to give us.
One would say our hearts become embiggened.
They grow. Amen.
They grow.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to the calls. Russell is in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Russell, what's your question briefly for Carlo Broussard?
Hello, gentlemen. Can you hear me there? I'm on Bluetooth. I understand that seems to be an issue.
Yes, I can hear
okay.
you.
All right. Well, the question was, why not be a Catholic? And I thought the question was put to me instead of me putting a question to you guys. My point for not being Catholic is that I don't see it as an overall redeeming feature that enhances the human experience. It's a benefit to humanity.
And why is it not a benefit to humanity? What is it about Catholicism that makes it, according to your view, that would make it not a benefit to humanity?
In the way that the organization, I'm separating the church organization from the belief. The church organization doesn't seem to be a benefit to humanity for its overall purpose.
Okay.
In terms of its way that it serves the poor, in terms of the way that it perhaps goes about trying to broker peace between nations, things like that.
Or how it treats homosexuals, or how it preaches against condom use, or its association with fascism during the early 20th century. All these things. How it hides its own pedophiles and doesn't allow them to be prosecuted over church unity seems to be more
all right,
important.
All right, there are two different things going here.
Yeah,
there
we've
are
got
one,
three different
which is
things.
Which is the church's teaching on certain issues, which we can get into in just a second, but the other would be people in the church associated with sin over the years.
Right.
So let's tackle that first one, or that second one rather, first, which is the church isn't beneficial to humanity because there have been priests, bishops, lay people throughout the centuries who've been involved in things that were bad for humanity.
Yeah, well, okay, I think we can parse this out in a couple of ways. First of all, Russell, I would encourage you, I don't know if you've ever saw or heard of this book entitled How the Catholic Church Built Western Civilization by Thomas E. Woods, Jr. In that book, I'm just going to read to you a brief list of the various things that he shows and demonstrates how the Catholic Church, as an organization, as a visible society here on earth, has benefited humanity as a whole in the sense that you might be referring to. So, for example, he talks about the church in the university, the church in science, the church in art and architecture, the origins of international law and Catholicism, the church in economics, the church in Western law and Western morality. I would encourage you to get a hold of that book and give it a read, because there you will find how the church indeed has contributed to the building up of Western civilization and all of humanity as a whole, even as a visible society here on earth. Now, concerning those you brought up, priests who are pedophiles. Basically, fundamentally, Russell, this all boils down to we are a hospital for sinners. If you're not going to belong to a particular group because certain individual members of that group are sinners, well, then you're going to have to cease being a Christian, and I assume you're a Christian. You're going to have to cease being a Christian because the very first leaders of the Christian group that Jesus established were sinners as well. Peter denied Christ. Judas betrayed Christ. All of the apostles except John left Christ hanging on the cross by himself, and they fled out of fear. So the logic of – the logic that says I ought not to belong to the group because certain individual members of the group are sinners, it doesn't follow that the group itself, we shouldn't belong to it because of the sinners in it. If Jesus didn't set up the group, I would agree with you, Russell. If the Catholic Church was not established by Jesus Christ and we were just a bunch of human beings getting together singing Kumbaya, then I would say, yeah, I'm not going to belong to a group with all of these sinners. But that presupposes Jesus didn't found the church. We have to ask the question, did Jesus found the Catholic Church? And if he did, and his promise in Matthew 16:18 that the gates of the netherworld would not prevail against it, and that his promise at the Last Supper in John 14:15 that the Holy Spirit would guide his apostles into the truth, if that is the case, well, then I can remain in the church he established even though certain individual members fail to live up to the teachings of Jesus Christ, even to the extent of atrocious actions as pedophilia, whatever it may be. But just because certain shepherds and leaders sin doesn't take away from Jesus' promise that his church will exist until the end of the age and will always protect us in the truth that he's invested to the church. And then finally, you brought up, you know, Russell, you brought up the teaching against homosexuality and condom use and how that doesn't benefit humanity. Well, that is based upon, yet again, another false assumption, namely that these acts benefit humanity. But that brings up the question, are these particular actions, homosexual activity, the contraceptive acts, sexual acts, are these actions actually beneficial for us as human beings? And that is the question that we have to try and answer. And the Catholic Church sees these acts as being contrary to the good of humanity, to the good of human beings, and as such says no to these actions. The Catholic Church's no to homosexual behavior and activity and contraceptive sex is because the church says yes to the happiness of human beings, given our human nature that our Creator God has given us.
And a very important distinction that I believe that you made very clearly in this discussion, Carlo, is that the church is always saying no to sin and yes to people.
Amen.
Right?
The church is all about our happiness.
If I was worried about the things that the church condemned in my own life, and that was a turnoff for me, man, I can go down a list that you don't want to hear on the radio, right, of things that are in my past, the things that are in my present that I'm trying to shake off.
Yeah, and it all boils down to the question of happiness, of what constitutes human happiness. And that question can only be answered if we first get the question about what a human being is right. You can't talk about human happiness unless you first know what a human being is and know the nature, our human nature, that God has granted us and what his plan for us is in light of that human nature. And this all goes back to what we call in our Catholic moral tradition as the natural moral law.
And going back just briefly before we hit to the next call after, actually we've got to hit a quick break here, but about that institution, the church, and it's having sinners in it and hypocrites in it. I mean, here's how committed Jesus is to the apostolic institution that is the church. Out of his top 12 draft picks, one of them went way bad.
Right.
I mean, one of them absolutely blew up, and he's still stuck to the apostolic model of leadership in the church.
Yeah.
So, I mean, can you imagine if 1/12 of the bishops today were to publicly apostatize?
Right.
I mean, that would be a pretty big deal if they were to publicly come out and fly in the face of everything that was Christian. So this is a definite question that comes up a lot around Catholic Answers, and I'm glad that you brought it up here.
Yeah, I mean, and it all boils down to, you know, if, like I said, if Christ didn't promise his presence with the church and protecting the church from the powers of hell, well then, heck, yeah, I wouldn't belong to any Christian group because they're all sinners just like me, right? But because Jesus established the Catholic Church and gave the Catholic Church his promise of protection, protecting it in truth concerning what we got to believe and do to be saved, that is the reason why we're Catholic. And it is in that therein lies the splendor of our Catholic faith, which is what I'll be talking about in Omaha, Nebraska. on October 29th right. for the conference.
October 29th, yeah. Yes. Spirit Catholic Radio is hosting that. That sounds like a big deal. By the way, as we're going to break, I just want to point out that I, too, want to not be part of any institutions that have sinners in them. Therefore, I'm going to resign my citizenship as a citizen of the United States.
That's right. As it's always said, Matt, you know, the church is not a museum of saints, although there are some of those, but it's a hospital for sinners. And even the administrators of that hospital are patients.
Sometimes they get sick too.
That's right.
So, and, you know, if you ever meet a hypocrite in the church, a sinner, a scoundrel, don't be surprised because that's who Jesus invited to the show.
That's
all right. We're going to hit a quick break. Come back with Catholic Answers Live, the number 1-888-318-7884. I'm Matt Swaim. Our guest, Carlo Broussard. Questions that we're taking today revolving around the topic, why aren't you Catholic? We're back after this.
We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
We as Catholics need to stand strong, to be prepared to mount a daily defense, to respond to the many challenges that we as believers are presented with every day. Jimmy Akin is here to help. His innovative new book, A Daily Defense, takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, 366 in all, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, with challenges and answers indexed alphabetically, so finding the answers can be quick and easy. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000. Visiting Catholic.com or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 12, Jesus warns us not to be afraid of those who kill the body, but of the one who, after killing, has the power to cast one into Gehenna. Even sparrows sold for 2 small coins do not escape the notice of God. The hairs on your head are numbered, he said. Fear not, you are worth more than many sparrows. Most of us fear rejection, the disapproval of people we respect, and certainly we fear for our physical safety. But our Blessed Lord is telling us that the only safety that ultimately matters is the safety from sin and temptation. How much do we fear that? You won't find NBC or even Fox doing a special warning of the dangers of that. Our ultimate safety lies in repentance and the willingness to forego anything and everything in order to be faithful to Him. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
We are back. I'm Matt Swaim, guest hosting for Catholic Answers Live this evening. Our guest, Carlo Broussard. Carlo, are you feeling it over there? You've been busy today.
Yeah, I have been busy, actually, doing a lot of work here at Catholic Answers. You're doing some writing, trying to get some new product out. In fact, I just got 2 new products out, a 20 Answers booklet on miracles and a DVD, Why God Still Matters, and more to come. So having a blast,
all right,
Matt.
Awesome, and I've been busy all day too. So as I mentioned, I'm with the Coming Home Network, which is kind of like a pastoral organization to help people who, after they've answered this question we're answering tonight, why aren't you Catholic? And they've decided God is calling me to the Catholic Church. Now what? We handle that on a daily basis. So come visit us at chnetwork.org if you want to find out more about that, and if you want to meet Carlo in person and see how good looking he is. You know, you can do that October 29th in Omaha. Omaha, as Peyton Manning would say. Tell us about that conference.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic conference, Matt. It's entitled Encounter Jesus. So we're going to be talking about Jesus, as the Texans would say, give me some Jesus, right? Texan friend of mine.
And some chili.
That's right, that's right. But yeah, so we're going to have a great lineup of speakers, Matt. Archbishop George Lucas, of the Archdiocese of Omaha. Bishop James Conley of the Diocese of Lincoln will be there. Patrick Coffin will be there, be his last official speaking event as a Catholic Answers speaker. Tim Staples, Trent Horn, who our listeners just heard in the previous hour, and myself, we're going to be there giving some talks. I know Tim's talking about evangelization. I'm going to be talking about the splendor of the Catholic faith. Patrick Coffin's talking about apologetics for chickens. beginning apologetics.
I was under the impression that chickens did not have an immortal soul, Carlos, so I don't know where he's going with that.
Leave it to Patrick Coffin for that type of title, huh? And then as Trent mentioned, he'll be talking about the three secrets of sharing the faith. So it's going to be a blast. We're going to have a great time. We're going to be there all day, October 29th, hanging out with everybody in between the talks for lunch, etc. So I would invite our listeners, if they can, to come and join us. And check this out, Matt. The registration fee is only $19.
You got to split that like 100 ways. I'm looking at the speaker list.
Yeah, I don't know how they're doing it, brother. But if our listeners want to register, they can call 855-571-0200. So that's 0200. Or they can go to spiritcatholicradio.com and register online. And they better do it fast because it's filling up.
This is listed on my sheet, but I have a hunch that Archbishop George Lucas will be answering your questions about the new trailer for Rogue One. So
I will bring my lightsaber.
I hear it's crumbling.
And challenge him to a duel.
There you go. All right. So we go next to the calls after that one. All right. I don't know how else to do this show other than to go to a call after that. John is in Mobile, Alabama, listening on AM 1410. John, what's your question for Carlo?
Hello?
Hello, John.
Hello, John.
Yes, this is John. I just have a hard time hearing you. I'm driving on the road, tuning your show. My concern might be peculiar. I consider myself a very devout Anglican. I've been in the Anglican Mission in America for over 20 years now, more or less. And I have in the past considered seriously Catholicism as well as Eastern Orthodoxy. And to be honest, if one were to choose one or the other, with the exclusive claims of both are not unsimilar. So one would have to decide between them. Right. And that kind of illustrates my point. We would probably have, I expect you'd be surprised, we would have very little that we would disagree upon Catholic doctrines.
Right.
My concern is that if one were to truly become a Roman Catholic, I'll say a good Catholic, it would entail a certain sort of swearing off or a tacit or open acknowledgement that some of the doctrines and practices and sacraments that were so powerfully formative in my life
are,
in fact, now I must now believe invalid, null and void. I never have taken up the Holy Communion because only the Catholic Church or the Orthodox Church truly has the Eucharist. My priest is not a true priest because Anglican priests are not true priests. So we might agree on 99% of things, but then because of the what I consider to be restrictive, exclusive claims of Orthodoxy and Catholicism. I'm talking about Catholicism, of course. It entails a certain dismissal of things that might have been very powerfully formative in devout people of those other faiths. So to pick one, so to speak, has implications, negative implications that to me are prohibitive. I could never do that.
Yeah, we can handle. Let's get. To sort of put a finer point on this, obviously Orthodox Answers Live is, I think, a couple clicks down the dial. But for the Catholic part of this, the question is, does the Church consider all the grace that would have been imputed to somebody who is part of the Anglican Communion just be worthless and invalid and off the books in comparison to the Catholic Church? Or how does the Church handle that?
Yeah, no, this is a great question and a great issue that John brings up. And the answer to your question, Matt, as you phrased it, trying to summarize John's question, is no. That the grace that John received in whatever means of grace he had he has received in his Anglican community would not be worthless. It is true that they would not have the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist because they would not have valid holy orders, valid priests to confect the Eucharist. That is true. But that doesn't mean John was not receiving grace through other means, such as reading the sacred scriptures and the Word of God. Even the grace that he would have received through his baptism, because Anglicans have valid baptisms, and that grace that he received through his baptism could grow, increase within his life through his works of charity that would preserve that grace and increase that grace. So in no way would we say the graces that he did receive are worthless. And we could even think about this too, Matt and John, if you're still listening, that even though you grew up in that Anglican community, brother, don't think that God is not going to use those years of formation to prepare you and make you a better Catholic, if you choose to become Catholic. Remember, St. Paul writes in Romans 8:28, God orders all things to the good for those who believe in him. So whatever comes our way in our lives, especially those things that we're not responsible for, that's being brought to us and, you know, our teachers and faith, and we're being formed, God is going to use that to make you the better Catholic Christian that he intends for you to be. So in no way will those formative years be null and void and be worthless. In fact, I would say that that is the seed that God was planting in his divine plan that he intends to flower for you if you join the Catholic faith. Because whatever he planted in those formative years within your Anglican community, John, will blossom and flourish by coming into the church, because therein you will receive the fullness of grace, not just some grace, but the fullness of grace that we have in the Catholic Church, particularly in the Holy Eucharist, right? In the sacrament of confession that you will be able to partake of, in the sacrament of confirmation that you will receive from a valid ordained clergy, and even just having the fullness of truth in the teachings of the Catholic faith. So rather than the seed being thrown away or being buried and never blossoming, I would say and encourage you that in the Catholic Church, that seed will flower, it will blossom, and you will experience the Catholic faith all the more. Your experience will be deeper because of the good formative years that you had in your Anglican community that God is using in his divine providential plan to prepare you to join the Catholic Church. I don't know if that helps, John.
John, is this helpful a little bit?
I'm sorry?
Is this helpful a little bit?
I have a bad phone. I can't hear you too well.
If our connection's breaking up, then we'll go ahead and just try and finish putting a fine point on this, since the show's almost over. It's hard to believe,
wow.
Carlo. But it sounds to me, Carlo, like you've been listening in on some of our staff meetings at the Coming Home Network. Because if you go to chnetwork.org and look up Anglican, you're going to find loads of people who come from an Anglican background who have been part of the Catholic Church and have told their stories on the journey home or what have you. As a matter of fact, right. The second ever guest on the journey home some 20 years ago was Monsignor Graham Leonard, the former Bishop of London, right? So this is not new territory that's being tread by people. And to a person, people who have come from that background and have shared their stories with us through the Coming Home Network have said, I am thankful for my Anglican upbringing. This is where I was introduced to Jesus Christ. This is where I was baptized. This is where I grew. This is where my formation came from. And I didn't have to give any of that stuff up. Deacon Alex Jones says the same thing in regard to his Pentecostal background. He says, I was Pentecostal. I became Catholic. Now I preach Catholic, but I preach it with the Pentecostal accent.
Amen. If I could say one thing to John, come on in and help us out, as all the converts do, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You can go visit me at chnetwork.org and get more of that story, but you can go to catholic.com to find Carlo, his resources. He's always working on something new, Carlo. Anything you want to say before we fire things away for the weekend?
They can follow me also on my website, carlobroussard.com, and like you said, visit us at catholic.com, and I look forward to next time visiting with them on the air, Catholic Answers Live.
My brother in baldness, it's been a pleasure and a joy.
It has, Matt.
All right, I'm Matt Swaim from the Coming Home Network, Carlo Broussard from Catholic Answers Live. We've enjoyed being with you. Come see us online and ask plenty of questions if we didn't get to them today.